The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from lots of books. Our first book is about dinosaurs, and one dinosaur and a little boy who looks after him. It's called My Dinosaur is Scared of Vegetables by Lily Lexington. Jack in the closet was hiding from Mum. His dinosaur whimpered and sucked on his thumb. It was time for their dinner, and there was no way they would ever eat their vegetables. Not on this day. Jack, come out. It's time for your dinner. Who can eat faster? I bet you're the winner. Mom, I'm afraid that I have to stay here. My dinosaur is shaking and trembling with fear. He's frightened of carrots and broccoli and peas. Beetroot and squash cause the poor beast to sneeze. They will destroy him with one single bite. That is the reason he stays out of sight. I see, said Jack's mother. I guess then instead your dinosaur promptly must go straight to bed. And there he will be so much further away from the vegetable dishes that we're eating today. Jack, feeling angry, decided right then to go up to his room with his dinosaur friend. He stomped up the stairs and then slammed his door. I don't even care if I eat any more. I can still play and I can have fun. I don't need those veggies to be number one. The very next morning, Jack happily said, Today is a great day to get out of bed. A cool game like baseball is always such fun. I almost can't wait till I hit a home run. The dinosaur followed Jack into the kitchen when they both realized that something was missing. Where is my breakfast? Jack noisily said, because there on the table sat veggies instead. Big plates of veggies, one for the dinosaur and one for Jack. His dinosaur ran to the family room table and hid beneath it as best he was able. And there's the dinosaur, this big old dinosaur, and he tried to get under this table, and the table is so little compared to the dinosaur that it's sitting on the top of his back. There is no way that dinosaur can get under the table. But Jack turned around and said, There's no way. My dinosaur is still scared of veggies, okay? They got in the car and drove to the park. The dinosaur jumped when he heard a dog bark. Jack's mom ignored him. Her face wore a frown. While Jack got his gear, she sat on the ground. Jack's dino was tired. He got up and yawned. Then he sat on the bench at the side of the lawn. The game soon began with Jack up to bat. He swung. Strike one, and adjusted his hat. Another. Strike two. Jack missed the ball. Jack was not swinging his bat well at all. The third pitch came then, and Jack swung at the ball. Three strikes, you're out, came the umpire's call. Out to the field the players had run, but Jack, of course, was having no fun. His dinosaur snoozed, his eyes heavy, tired, and bleary. Jack stood midfield, feeling heavy and weary. The ball flew towards him. He went for the catch, but he tripped and he fell, and he lost the whole match. Poor Jack and poor dinosaur. They were so tired because they hadn't had any supper the night before, and they hadn't had any breakfast this morning because they didn't want to eat vegetables. The game was now ended, but Jack didn't know why he was tired and being so slow. His dinosaur nudged him as if he should say, I'm terribly sorry, you've had a bad day. Jack's mother bundled them into the car, and as soon as they were home, as the park wasn't far. His mother smiled kindly. Jack, may I please talk with your dinosaur out by the trees? So Jack waited patiently, too tired to walk, while Dino and Mom had a serious talk. We've had a good chat, and we need you to know that we figured out why today you were so slow. The dinosaur smiled as Jack's mother explained, your vitamins stop you from feeling tired and so drained. Jack hadn't had his vitamins because he didn't eat his vegetables. Jack wrinkled his brow. I don't understand. Are vitamins magic? He held out his hand. Mom put a carrot right into Jack's palm. And to his surprise, his dino stayed calm. Vegetables help you to stay fast and strong. Your dinosaur knows he was terribly wrong. He's no longer frightened and trembling, you see. He's even agreed to try broccoli and peas. Jack took a bite from the carrot and said, this isn't half bad, and bit off its head. From that day on, the best friends knew that eating their vegetables was something they would do. To stay strong and healthy in every which way, they would eat their vegetables every day. And that's the end of My Dinosaur is Scared of Vegetables. That's a good book, I think. Do you eat your vegetables or do you leave them on your plate? Anyways, our next book is called Llama Llama Mrs. Mama, and it's by Anna Dudney. This is about Llama's first day at school. The first picture shows us the llama all cuddled up under his favorite blanket, and on his bed, sleep, cuddling his little toy. I think that's a bear, or maybe a rabbit, I think it is. Anyways, he has this little stuffed animal that he likes, and he sleeps with a little animal all the time. Llama, llama, warm in bed. Wakey, wakey, sleepyhead. Llama school begins today. Time to learn and time to play. Make the bed and find some clothes. Brush the teeth and blow the nose. Eat some breakfast. Clean the plate. Oops! Oh my, we're running late. Drive to school and park the car. Tell the teacher who you are. Meet new faces. Hear new names. See new places, watch new games. Is dinosaur watching? Uh-oh, these pages are so thick, they're hard to turn. Hang the coat up and say goodbye. Llama, llama, feeling shy. Mama, llama goes away, but llama, llama has to stay. Strange new teacher, strange new toys, lots of kids and lots of noise. What would Llama like to do? But Llama Llama feels so new. Build a castle out of blocks. Make a rocket from a box. Llama Llama shakes his head. Llama walks away instead. Well, here's a little chug-a-choo with a captain and a crew. Would the llama like a ride? Llama Llama tries to hide. And so he did not get in the train that the other kids were playing in. Reading stories on the rug, kids are cuddled, sitting snug. Wouldn't Llama like to look? Llama Llama hates that book. Time for lunch. Now find a seat. Llama Llama doesn't want to eat. Llama makes a little moan. Llama Llama feels right at all alone. Llama Llama misses Mama so. Why did Mama Llama go? Poor little guy, he just doesn't want to be at school without his mama. It's too much for little Llama. Llama Llama misses Mama. And here all the kids are having a nice little snack. And there's Lama with tears coming out of his eyes. He's so sad and feels so alone in this new school. "Don't be sad, new little Lama. It's okay to miss your mama. But don't forget, when day is through, she will come right back to you. Lama, Lama, please don't fuss. Have some fun and play with us. Put on coats and run outside. See the playhouse. Try the slide. Tag and jump rope. Hide and seek. Close your eyes and do not peek." Now it's time to draw and write. Great big crayons, colors bright. Take some paper from the stack. "Mama Llama, you came back." And there's his mama. She came back for her little llama. Teacher gets a goodbye hug. Wave to friends on the reading rug. Climb the playhouse with the slide. See if Mama fits inside. And she does. There she is, inside the playhouse. Lots to show and lots to say. Back again another day. Llama finds out something new. He loves Mama. And school, too. And that's the end of Llama, Llama, Mrs. Mama. But about Llama, Llama's first day at school, and how at first he didn't think he wanted to stay and he missed his mom, but by the end of the day he had some new friends and he was very happy playing. And that's the end of this book. Our next story is about going to school, just like the last story was about the first day of school. It's called Daniel Goes to School, and it's from a book with all sorts of Daniel Tiger stories. If you've ever watched Mr. Rogers or Daniel Tiger on TV, this is what it's all. These are the characters you'll hear in this story. So here we go. Daniel Goes to School. "Hi, neighbor. It's time for school," said Daniel Tiger. "I've got my backpack, I've got my lunchbox, and..." "You've got me," said Dad, opening the front door. "Now, let's get you to school." "Please take us to school, Trolley," said Daniel, as he and Dad hopped aboard. "Ting ding," said Trolley. "We are going to school today. Won't you ride along with me?" "Ride along," sang Daniel. He looks excited to go to school. When they arrived at school, Daniel pulled Dad into the classroom. "Come on, Dad, let's go build with blocks." But Dad just stopped. "I would love to build blocks with you," said Dad, "but I have to go to work." "Are you sure?" Daniel asked. "Maybe work is closed today." Dad Tiger shook his head. "I don't think so, Daniel," he said. "It's time for me to go." Daniel was sad. "I don't want you to go. I want you to stay and be with me." "I want to stay too, Daniel," said Dad, "but all your friends are here, and Teacher Harriet will take good care of you. At the end of the day, I will come back and pick you up, because grown-ups come back." Grown-ups come back. "Grown-ups come back," repeated Daniel. He gave Dad a hug goodbye. "Agamaga, agamaga," said Dad. Teacher Harriet gently led Daniel to the art table. "Let's see what your friends are doing." Prince Wednesday was drawing a picture of his dad, King Friday. "My dad's at work being the best boss of the castle stuff," he said. "My mom is at work too. I miss her," said Miss Elena. "But look, I have her picture in my necklace to remind me that she'll come back to get me." Daniel picked up a crayon. "I want to have a picture of my dad, too. I'm going to draw us in a rocket ship, blasting off for the moon." Daniel imagined that he and his dad were really blasting off to the moon. whoosh, and there they are in Daniel's imagination, he and his dad in a rocket ship flying through the sky and up into the stars. "Come to the rug for circle time," called Teacher Harriet, and everyone skipped over to the rug. Everyone except Miss Elena. Where was Miss Elena? This was very strange. Suddenly Daniel heard, oh no, it was Miss Elena. "I can't find the picture of my mommy," Miss Elena sniffled. "If I don't have my picture, how do I know my mommy will come back and get me?" Daniel put his arm around Miss Elena. "Your mommy will come back and get you," he said. "My dad always says, grown-ups always come back." "We can help you find your necklace," suggested Prince Wednesday. The whole class began to look. They looked high. They looked low. They looked at all the pile up of mail, see if it had got in there. They looked backward, well, at least Miss Elena did, until "I found it," hooted O the owl, picking the necklace up off the ground. "Thank you, O," said Miss Elena happily. "Owls are excellent lookers," said O the owl. "Owls are excellent friends, too," added Teacher Harriet. Teacher Harriet looked at the clock. "We spent circle time looking for Elena's necklace," she said. "It's lunchtime now. Miss Elena, would you like to be my lunch helper today?" "Okay," replied Miss Elena. At the table, Miss Elena passed out the lunch boxes to her friends. As everyone munched on their food, there was a knock at the door. Who could it be? It was the grown-ups. "All the grown-ups came back," said Miss Elena. She was so happy. Daniel ran over to his dad. "You came back." "I did," replied Dad. "Can we go build blocks now?" asked Daniel. "Well, I've been waiting to do that all day," Dad answered, smiling. And that, the end. Now, this book is called Fancy Nancy, Hair Do's and Hair Don'ts, by a woman called Jane O'Connor. "Do not forget that tomorrow is picture day," Miss Glass reminds us. Reminding is fancy for making us remember something. "I also have a surprise." Oh, what is it?" asked Clara. "If I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise," said Miss Glass. "You will find out tomorrow." "Goodbye," I say to Miss Glass. She did not need to remind me about picture day. It's just about the most important day of the school year. Weeks ago, I put a circle around the day on my calendar. Excuse me. Weeks ago, I picked out my outfit. Outfit is fancy for clothes. I will wear my pink shirt with ruffles, my purple skirt with ruffles, my pink and purple socks with ruffles. Ruffles make anything fancy. And there's all her clothes nicely hung up for the day. All the pink and purple and all frilly and with lots of lace. Looks so pretty. And her jewelry is there and a pink purse and all sorts of wonderful things for her to use. After dinner, I read my library book. It is about Amelia Earhart. She was a brave airplane pilot. Amelia was not fancy, but I like how she looks, her hair most of all. Her hairstyle is called a bob. Then it hits me. I have not decided on my hairstyle for picture day. My hair is curly, so I can wear it in many flattering ways. Flattering is fancy for pretty. Maybe I will wear my hair in pigtails. Maybe I will wear my hair in a bun at the top of my head. Maybe I will wear my hair long and loose. Then Bree calls. She describes her outfit for picture day. Describe means to tell all about. Then she says, My mom braided my hair and put in new beads. Oh, how elegant, I tell her. Elegant is a fancy word for fancy. Maybe I will wear cornrows like Brie. But Mom does not have time to make a lot of braids, and Dad is not a good braider. Later, I read more of my book, and then it hits me. I will wear my hair like Amelia. Ooh, la la. It will be perfect for picture day. Amelia's hair was shorter than mine, but I can trim my hair. I snip a little here and I snip a little there. I snip in the back and I snip in the front for bangs. My bangs are crooked, so I snip some more. Trimming hair is very complicated. Complicated means the opposite of easy. I'm still snipping when Mom comes into my room. Nancy, what are you doing? Scissors are only for cutting paper. That is a Clancy family rule. I'm sorry. Really, I am. I just wanted my hair to look perfect for picture day, I said. But it looks horrible. Mom tries her best. There, there. Your hair looks just fine. She is trying to comfort me. And that's a fancy word for making me feel better. I can't go to school tomorrow. I can't be in the picture, I said. But Mom says, excuse me, you are not missing school just because of your hair. The next morning, I come into my class. I am wearing my fancy outfit. I have tied a scarf around my head. It does not look fancy. It looks odd, which is fancy for strange. Soon it is time for the picture. Lionel and Brie are next to me. I wish I was pregnant. Excuse me, I wish I were invisible. I was thinking of something else right there. Mrs. Glass says, you all look wonderful. And now I will show you the surprise. She has caps for all of us. The caps say, Mrs. Glass's stars. Do you want to wear the caps for the picture? Miss Glass asked. Yes, we shout. I shout louder than anybody. Quickly, I unwrap my scarf. I put on the cap. I do not look odd anymore. I look almost normal. One, two, three. We all say cheese. And for the moment, that's fancy for right now. I look picture perfect. P.S. I hope I have fast-growing hair. And that's the end of Fancy Nancy and what to do with your hair and what not to do with your hair. Don't ever try to cut it yourself. The next story is called The Letter, and it comes from a book, little book called Frog and Toad Are Friends. So this is about a frog and a toad. Toad was sitting on his front porch. Frog came along and said, what's the matter, Toad? You're looking sad. Yes, said Toad, this is my sad time of day. It is the time when I wait for the mail to come. It always makes me very unhappy. Why is that? Asked Frog. Because I never get any mail. Not ever? Asked Frog. No, never, said Toad. No one has ever sent me a letter. Every day my mailbox is empty. That is why I'm waiting for the mail. But it's always a sad time for me. Frog and Toad sat on the porch, feeling sad together. Then Frog said, I have to go home now, Toad. There is something that I must do. Frog hurried home. He found a pencil and a piece of paper. He wrote on the paper. He put the paper in an envelope. On the envelope, he wrote, a letter for Toad. Frog ran out of his house. He saw a snail that he knew. Snail, said Frog, please take this letter to Toad's house and put it in the mailbox. Sure, said the snail, right away. Frog ran back to Toad's house. Toad was in bed, taking a nap. Toad, said Frog, I think you should get up and wait for the mail some more. No, said Toad, I am tired of waiting for the mail. Frog looked out the window at Toad's mailbox. The snail was not there yet. Toad, said Frog, you never know when someone could send you a letter. No, no, said Toad, I do not think anyone will ever send me a letter. The snail was not there yet. But Toad, said Frog, someone may send you a letter today. Don't be silly, said Toad. No one has ever sent a letter before, and no one will ever send me a letter today. Frog looked out the window. Snail was still not there. Frog, do you know what? Frog, why do you keep looking out the window? Asked Toad. Because I am waiting for the mail, said Frog. But there will not be any, said Toad. Oh, yes, there is, said Frog, because I sent you a letter. You know why? I think Frog picked the wrong animal to bring the letter to Toad. A snail walks very, very slowly. No wonder he wasn't there yet. You did write me a letter, said Toad. What did you write in that letter? Frog said, I wrote, Dear Toad, I am glad that you are my best friend, your best friend, Frog. Oh, said Toad, now that makes a very good letter. Then Frog and Toad went out onto the front porch to wait for the mail. They sat there, feeling happy together. Frog and Toad waited a long time. 4 days later, the snail got to Toad's house and gave him the letter from Frog. Toad was very pleased to have it. That's a nice story, isn't it? Now, for the rest of our time today, I'm going to read some nursery rhymes. These are all very old, old, old poems that some have been around for several hundred years. And some of them might be very familiar to you, but they're good poems, and I like them very much. I read these first when I was a little girl. The first one is, Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home, wagging their tails behind them. Ba, ba, black sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, 3 bags full. One for my master and one for my dame and one for the little boy who lives down the lane. And here's another one. I had a little nut tree, nothing would it bear, but a silver nutmeg and a golden pear. The king of Spain's daughter came to visit me, all for the sake of my little nut tree. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it today. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, please visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.